would like to read now from 1 Samuel chapter 5. Let me briefly tell you what's happening in these two chapters so that as we read, you'll kind of get a clearer picture of what's being said and where it's going. The Philistines had come to the children of Israel in battle, and they had taken the Ark of the Covenant. Do some of you remember what was in the Ark of the Covenant of the children of Israel? What was in the Ark of the Covenant? Okay, there was manna, there was Aaron's rod that budded. Okay, the Ten Commandments were there in the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, I think, primarily represents the Word of God. But regardless of what you see it as being a type of, remember that the Ark of the Covenant was very special to the children of Israel. And the Philistines now have taken the Ark of the Covenant. They're taking it back to their land. When they get it back to their land, they decide they're going to put the Ark of the Covenant in there beside their God, whose name was Dagon. And they set the Ark of the Covenant in there beside Dagon. The next morning when they get up, their god Dagon has fallen down and is on its face in front of the Ark of the Covenant. So they set Dagon, their god, they set Dagon back up. And the next morning they come back and Dagon has fallen down and his head has broken off and his hands have broken off. And so then they decide that they're afraid of the Ark of the Covenant. And they send it out of that city and they send it to another city. And when they sent the Ark of the Covenant, this is still now among the Philistines, they wanted to keep this special treasure of the children of Israel. So they sent the Ark of the Covenant to another city still among the Philistines. And there the people began to die. They had something called emerods. And the word emerods means a tumor or a swelling. It's where we get the word hemorrhoids. And they had emerods, and many of the people began to die. So what do you think the people of that city began to say that they needed to do with the Ark of the Covenant? What would you do if you had been living in that city? Get rid of it. So they sent it to another city, and they just kept shifting the Ark of the Covenant around. And everywhere that the Ark of the Covenant went, everywhere there were many people that died, and there were many people that had horrible pain with these emerods that God sent on the children of the Philistines because they had the Ark of the Covenant. And they began to recognize and realize, the Philistines began to say that we had better get rid of this and we better send it back to the children of Israel. I'm going to come down now to chapter 6. I've already gone over most of chapter 5. I want to come down to chapter 6. I want to begin reading with verse 1. And the Ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, "What shall we do to the Ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to its place." That is, how are we going to send it back to its place? Verse 3, 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 3. And they said, "If ye send away the Ark of the God of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering. Then ye shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you." Then said they, "What shall be the trespass offering which we shall return to him?" They answered, 5 golden emerods and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for one plague was on you all and on your lords. Wherefore ye shall make images of your emerods and images of your mice that mar the land, and ye shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Peradventure he will lighten his hand from off you and from off your gods and from off your land. What are they saying? What are they telling them to do? Somebody tell me in your own words. What were they telling the Philistines? What were these diviners telling the Philistines they needed to do? They were to send the Ark of the Covenant back to the children of Israel, and they were to send a trespass offering back with the Ark of the Covenant as they sent it back. Come down to verse 6 now. "Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts. What are they beginning to do? They're saying, don't you remember how the Egyptians and Pharaoh, that in spite of the fact that God sent plagues among the Egyptians when they were holding the children of Israel as slaves, when they enslaved the children of Israel, he's saying, don't you remember how Pharaoh and the children of Israel hardened their hearts? And he's saying, how can you not understand that you cannot be offending the children of Israel? So why are you hardening your hearts like the Egyptians and Pharaoh did? When he had wrought wonderfully among them, did they not let the people go? And they departed. In other words, when God brought His judgments on the Egyptians, what did the Egyptians finally do? They let them go. Now, verse 7. Now, therefore, make a new cart. They're going to tell them how to send the Ark of the Covenant back to the children of Israel. Now, therefore, make a new cart and take two milch kine on which there hath come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart, and bring their calves home from them. I want you to get the picture now. You take two cows that have never been hooked up to a cart, and you take those two cows and you take their calves away from them, and you take that cart and hook it up to those two cows, and then you see if those two cows will take the Ark of the Covenant, see if they will leave their calves, and see if they'll take the Ark of the Covenant. What is the nature of the cow to do? Would the cow leave her calf? Brother James, you're a farmer. What's a cow going to do? When a calf begins bellowing because it wants its mama, what's the mama going to do? That's right. She's going to try to find that calf and stay with it. She's not going to walk off and leave her calf. And they knew that if the cows left their calves and went to the children of Israel, they knew it had to be the hand of God, because it would be completely against the nature of the cow to leave her calves. And that's what he's going to tell them to do. Verse 7, he says, now therefore make a new cart and take two milch kine, on which there hath come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart and bring their calves home from them. Verse 8, and take the ark of the Lord and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold, which ye return him for a trespass offering, in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go. Now here's the text. Listen carefully to verse 9. Verse 9 says, and see, if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beth-Shemesh, that is, to the children of Israel in Judah, then he hath done us this great evil. Who is the pronoun he referring to? God. If those cows take that cart on which the Ark of the Covenant is, and they go back to Israel, then the expression is, then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, if those cows don't leave their calves, if they don't go and carry the cart to the children of Israel, but if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us, it was chance that happened to us. You hear that? Now, the question that I want us to consider tonight is it God or is it chance? In this situation, all the trouble that the children of the Philistines were having, is it God or is it chance? Tell me another way. We don't always use the word chance, but tell me another word we might use. Whenever something bad happens, what do we say? It was what? All right, bad luck. And so sometimes we might ask ourselves, now I wonder, was this bad luck? Have you ever heard people say this was just bad luck? Would you say that the Philistines were having, or would some people say, that the Philistines were having a lot of bad luck at this point in time? Would you say, if you went back and you looked at the Egyptians back there when they were holding the children of Israel as slaves, would you say that the Egyptians were having, not would you say, but would some people say, that the Egyptians were having a lot of bad luck? And what I want us to consider tonight is that when things happen in our lives, we need to ask ourselves and we need to determine, is it God or is it chance? Is it really God that has brought these things in our lives, or is it really just chance that these things have happened? I pray God will help us to understand that God speaks to His people in a lot of different ways. And one of the ways that God speaks to His people is He will bring His judgments in their lives. And the sad thing is that so many times that one thing after another happens, and the children of God never ask themselves this question, is this God? Is this God that's doing this? Sometimes the children of God will harden their hearts and they will refuse to acknowledge that the bad things that are happening are actually the hand of God being brought upon their lives. And the children of Israel here, or rather the children of the Philistines, they said, now you send this back, and if the cart goes back, if those cows pull that cart back, then we will know that it is the Lord, it's the hand of the Lord that's caused all these things, and we'll know that it was not chance that caused all these things to happen. Now, guess what happened to that ark? What do you think happened? It went right straight back. I want you to look at a few more verses, starting in verse 10. And the men did so, and took two milch kine and tied them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 6 now, verse 11. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart and the coffer with the mice of gold and the images of their emerods. And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth-Shemesh and went along the highway, lowing as they went. Now, can you picture that? What were those cows doing as they were going along there pulling their cart? They were grieving. That's exactly right. They were lowing as they went. They were grieving. They longed for their calves that they were walking away from. They were lowing as they went. They were doing something that only the power of God would cause two cows. They were not being driven by those men. Understand that now. Nobody was driving them back. No man was there to lead them back. But they just put them on the cart, and these two cows began to take that cart as straight as it could go right back to Beth Shemesh. They were lowing as they went and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them under the border of Beth Shemesh. And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. And they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. Do you see all? There are a lot of different lessons in this whole passage of Scripture. But the main thing that's on my heart tonight is, when things happen in your life, do you ever back up and ask the question, is this God or is it chance? Do you ever stop and really consider what's causing things that are happening? Or is there a cause? Are there reasons that things sometimes happen in our lives? Or is it just chance? Is it just nature? Is it just bad luck? Is it just happenstance? Or is it, in reality, is it the hand of God and we don't want to recognize it? I want you to go with me to, can you think of, before I turn to any scriptures, can you think of any instances in the Word of God where something bad happened, and when something bad happened that either the individual or other people around that individual, that they knew that it was caused by some particular wrongdoing of someone? Can you think of anything like that in the Word of God? All right, Jonah. Let's go there. That's where I was fixing to turn to, Brother Jerry. I want us to go to and look in Jonah. Turn in your Bibles, because this is very important. You might say, well, this is repetitive. I want you to see clearly in God's Word there are reasons for things happening in our lives. And sometimes we are so foolish that we don't even see that God is speaking to us through the events that are happening in our lives. In Jonah chapter 1, look please at Jonah chapter 1 beginning in verse 4. Jonah chapter 1, what has God, in the first three verses, what has God told Jonah to do? God said, Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh. And Jonah arose and began to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4, Jonah 1, verse 4, the Word of God says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. Let me ask you this question. Did God cause this storm or the devil cause this storm? Which one? God caused this storm. There are a lot of people that don't know the God of this Bible. Did you know that? There are a lot of people that they say that God would never do anything like that. Well, I want you to know the God of this Bible does things like that over and over and over in the Word of God. God sent this storm. Verse 4 says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." Has God, I'm asking you, when storms happen in your life, do you need to back up and say, "Lord, is it you that has sent this as judgment in my life, or is this just a chance of a storm coming my way? Are the troubles that we're having, are they caused by something we're doing, or is it just chance?" Isn't that what the Philistines wanted to know? Is it God or is it chance? Come now to verse 5. Verse 5 says, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, 'What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not.'" Now listen carefully to verse 7. "And they said every one to his fellow, 'Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is come upon us.'" Did these men that were in this ship, did they know that someone had done something that caused this problem? Does that seem to be from them saying, look, we're going to look again at verse 7. "And they said every one to his fellow, 'Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is come upon us.'" Had someone done something that caused the storm that was causing this ship about to sink? Was Jonah the only one that was affected by this storm? Was everybody in the ship affected by this storm? Did you know that everybody in America is going to be affected by the evil that's going on in America? It's not just going to be the people that are doing evil. It's going to be everybody in America that's going to experience great loss because of the sin of those in our ship. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Look at verse 8. "Then said they unto him, 'Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is come upon us.'" Now, could Jonah have said, "Well, it's that man right over there"? Could he have said, "It's the captain of the ship"? Could he have said it was someone else? They cast the lots. The lot fell on Jonah, and all they did was say, "Tell us who caused this storm. Why is God putting us through this storm? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou?" Look at verse 9 and 10 very carefully. "And he said unto them, 'I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven.'" Now, did he fear the Lord, the God of heaven? Did he fear the Lord? Thank you. All right. Did he fear the Lord back there in verse 3 when God said, "Arise and go to Nineveh," and he rose and fled to Tarshish? Did he fear the Lord back there? I think right now you're correct, Brother Wendell. I think at that time in verse 9, I think he did fear the Lord because he knew that they were about to perish because of the sin he had committed. And so he said, "I fear the Lord, the God of heaven." How many of you fear the Lord? How many of you have had problems and troubles in your life and you knew the cause of those problems were your disobedience to God? How many of you have realized that and at that point you were very afraid because you knew that the trouble you were having was not chance, it was not circumstance, it was not bad luck, but it was the hand of God, the righteous God, chastening you because of sin in your life? And when that happens, brethren, you will be afraid. You will be afraid. There's nothing as frightening as knowing that judgments, the judgments of God, are taking place in your life. Verse 10 says, "Then were the men exceedingly afraid." Now, they were very afraid when Jonah told them that the reason of this whole problem is because he had done something wrong. "Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, 'Why hast thou done thus?' For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them." Come down to verse 12. This is the last verse we'll read from the book of Jonah. Verse 12 says, "And he said unto them, 'Take me up and cast me forth into the sea.' so shall the sea be calm unto you. Listen carefully. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. What's he saying there? Who caused this whole problem? Jonah did. He said, I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Brethren, I just want all of us to understand tonight that we need to back up and ask the question, is it God or is it chance as all these things are happening in our nation and in our land and in our lives, our personal lives and in our homes? Is it God or is it chance? You just back up and think about that. I want you to go home and think about what is happening and what is causing those things to happen. I must read one other passage of Scripture before you leave tonight. If you will, go forward in your Bibles just a few pages to the book of Haggai. And we'll close right here, but I pray that you will listen carefully to the book of Haggai. In Haggai chapter 1, listen please, beginning in verse 3. Haggai chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Haggai chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, the Word of God says, Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? What house was it that was lying waste? What house was it that was being neglected? It was the house of God that was being neglected. He says, Is it all right for you to be going about your life, concentrating on your activities and your well-being and your houses, and you be neglecting the house of God? Now, is this necessarily just the literal building? I know it, in its context, it is talking about the literal building had been neglected. But tell me other ways that you can neglect. The wording here is going to be that they did not do the work in the house of the Lord. Does everybody follow that? Is there a lot of different work in the house of the Lord besides just taking care of the building? And the whole cause of all this trouble is going to be that they had not been doing the work that they were supposed to be doing in the house of the Lord. My question to every one of you tonight is this. Are you doing the work that the Lord has for you to do in the house of the Lord? Let me repeat that because it's very important. Are you doing the work? Are you doing everything God would have you to do in the house of the Lord? I want to read verse 4 now. He says, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts. What are the last three words there? Consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. I want you to think about this. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. What was happening to the people here? Were they experiencing financial trouble in their lives? He says, consider in verse 7, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. I'm not going to read all of this chapter, but I do want to read one more verse. In verse 9, he says, Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon... Who blew upon this that they brought home? Who blew upon what they had? Who blew it away? God did. He says, And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Why? Was this chance? Was it God, or was it chance? Was it a bad season? Was it a bear market? Was it something that was just chance that made things happen that way? Or was God carrying out His judgment? Why, saith the Lord of hosts? And then He says, Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore, He says in verse 10, The heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. Come down to verse 14. What do you think the people did when they heard that this that's happening to you is the judgments of God? What do you think the people did? Come down to verse 14. Verse 14 says, And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. What did they do? What did they do? They set their house in order, didn't they? They began to do their work in the house of the Lord. I just want to say in closing tonight that every one of you, I want to repeat, every one of you has a work in the Lord's house. And if you're not going to do that work, you need to understand things are going to happen. And when those things happen, I don't want you to wonder, is it chance or is it the Lord? If you neglect the work God has for you to do in His house, then understand consequences will come. May God help us to labor in the Lord's house is my prayer for Christ's sake.